Good morning. So what's this? I mean, that first reading from the Song of Songs. Very well read. All the other three masses, by the way, that was read by a married couple. Are these two making an announcement? But the reason it's read by a married couple is that it's highly erotic. I mean, you know, did you listen what they were talking about? What's this erotic poetry doing in the Bible? It's not like we, you know, found the dirty part. You know? The whole book, the whole Song of Songs is very erotic poetry. So much so that the rabbis wouldn't let anybody study it individually until they were 30. Figure by the time you were 30, you were old enough to handle it. Up to that point, you'd hear it read in the synagogue, but you couldn't sit down and study it for yourself. It's too exciting. What's that doing in the Bible? We all know that love is an important part of religion. You know? One of the greatest commandments of the law, you shall love the Lord your God, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But we think of that as love as in charity, as in regard for something not even really emotional, much less passionate, something volitional. I have made a decision to do what is best for God, what is best for my neighbor, rather quietly, calmly, and dispassionately. Well, no. At least it can't stop there. That's not what love is about. It's much too narrow a definition of love. Love is bigger than that. And part of what love is passionate. Part of what love is erotic. And that's what the Song of Songs testifies to. It's a part of our tradition that we need to incorporate. At least if you want to be a traditional Catholic. There have been more commentaries written on the Song of Songs in the first 1,500 years of the Catholic Church than any other book of the Old Testament. It's part of our tradition. And part of our recent tradition. Did you read the encyclical on God is Love that the present Holy Father Benedict XVI put out 2 years ago? It was his first encyclical, God is Love. And there are passages in there where he talks about the erotic nature of the love within the Trinity. The love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has an erotic quality to it. Never thought I'd read that in papal literature. I mean, I've read it in the mystics. John of the Cross uses language like that. Teresa of Avila uses language like that. I never thought I'd hear a pope, much less a rather formal, conservative, reserved German pope, talk about the erotic nature of the love within the Trinity. But that's what he says. Now, obviously, that can't be taken literally. No words, no language applied to God can be taken literally. Our language is finite. God is infinite. Even less so here. You know, when we talk about erotic, we're talking about physical stirrings. And God, without a body, does not have physical stirrings. But there's something there, something about the passionate quality, something about the longing quality, something about the intensity of the desire that we experience in erotic love, God experiences within the Trinity. So our love can't be washed out. It can't be flat. It can't be intellectual. It's got to be full-blooded, robust, human, emotional, erotic. And that's why the Song of Songs has always been read in the synagogue, as well as in the church, as an image of God's love for us and our love for God. That's why marriage is considered one of the seven sacraments. Because it has the full dimension of human love, just as our love for God and God's love for us must be a full-dimensioned love. The reading on Simchat Torah on the day of Pentecost was from Ruth. This is the day, 40 days after Exodus, when God appears at Sinai and the covenant is made, you shall be my people, you shall be my God. And at that point, they celebrate the kind of love that's found in Ruth, the kind we talked about 2 weeks ago, the kind that is constant and unswerving and devoted. Where you go, I will go, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. But the reading on Passover, 40 days before, at the beginning of this process, is the Song of Songs. Obviously, the Torah reading is the Exodus reading itself, the going out from Egypt. But the other reading is the reading of the Song of Songs. Because this is Israel at the height of its passion for God. God at the height of God's passion for Israel. Let's run off together. Let's leave Egypt and go out into the desert together, and we'll find out what we do when we get there. There is a passionate, intense, erotic quality to God's romance with Israel that needs to be preserved. So, passion is not bad. Eroticism is not bad. Yeah, of course it's easily misused, you know. It's the strongest human instinct, and if you let it off on the wrong channel, it can ruin lives fairly quickly, you know. And there's all kinds of ways to do that, and we know about them, right? But that's not what it's about. You know? What it's about is the passionate, the intensity, the longing, the desire. I can't live without you feeling of being in love. That is a part of the beginning of a committed, loving relationship. That is a part of the relationship between husband and wife. That is a part of the relationship between God and God's people. So go read the book. It's in the Bible for a purpose. The purpose is not just to provide teenagers something to sneak to when they think their parents aren't looking. It's to remind us old codgers that a love that is devoid of passion ceases to be full-blooded enough to be God's love. That our love needs to be passionate. That our love needs to have this erotic quality to it. That this is the way God loves us. This is the way we should love God. This is the way we should love each other. It's in the Bible for a purpose. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.